Invasive plants and animals are an expensive problem in the U.S. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. Federal agencies spent more than $104 million last year to control them. But a study on the garlic mustard plant shows it might be better to leave some invasives alone. Rebecca Thiel reports for Great Lakes Today.
Paul Vugtveen, a chef in Michigan, is standing over a sizzling frying pan. Sometimes he'll add some raw garlic mustard, which he describes as a garlicky, oniony herb.
And you can just throw it in with, at the end of a sauté, just to kind of brighten it up.
Vugtveen uses garlic mustard much like Europeans did when they brought it to the United States in the 1800s. It was also used to treat ulcers and gangrene. But garlic mustard has a dark side, too. It spread all over the Northeast and Great Lakes region, wiping out native species in its path. Garlic mustard has this secret weapon, a chemical called sinigrin. It leaches into the soil, killing a beneficial fungus that other plants rely on to get nutrients. But now, scientists have spotted a weakness. After years of domination, garlic mustard starts giving up the fight.
This weapon, if you will, it's not useful if you're competing with other members of your own species.
That's Richard Lankow, who teaches plant pathology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He co-authored a recent study on garlic mustard in the journal Functional Ecology. Garlic mustard is a forest plant, with heart-like leaves and clusters of white flowers. It can grow up to about 4 feet tall and is often the first green plant you'll see in the spring. Lankow's team found that over the span of decades, large expanses of garlic mustard stopped producing as much sinigrin, which might allow native plants to move back in. So, if a big bad invasive species like garlic mustard can stop being so invasive, should we still try to control it? British ecologist Ken Thompson says, maybe not.
Over time, what happens is the species evolves, the species with which it is competing evolve, and this apparent superiority slowly begins to decline.
Thompson wrote a book called Where Do Camels Belong? The Story and Science of Invasive Species. Over Skype, he said the most worrisome invasive species is us. After all, we're the ones changing the environment.
I mean, how likely would it be, after all the changes we've made to the world, that the native species that used to live in all those very changed habitats are now the best species adapted to live there?
Thompson says often methods used to control invasive species, like spraying herbicides, do more damage than the species itself. Lankow says one lesson is that all attacks from invasive species shouldn't be treated the same.
There are places where the invasion is sort of hot and heavy, where it's probably worth investing a lot of resources in, and there are other places where it's cooled off a little bit, and maybe our resources are better used in other ways.
Out here at the Kalamazoo Nature Center, science is put to the test. Walking along a wooded trail, invasive species manager Ryan Kozatek says volunteers pull out garlic mustard to give native plants room to grow. Last year, they pulled 10,000 pounds. That's the weight of two rhinos. Kozatek says he isn't ready to change his strategy for dealing with garlic mustard just yet. But it's worth talking about.
So at this point, it's kind of a nice to know and something to consider moving forward.
For Great Lakes Today, I'm Rebecca Thiel.
Great Lakes Today is a collaboration of WBFO Buffalo, IdeaStream Cleveland, and WXXI Rochester. That's the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.